Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to episode 196 of GeekCast Radio. I am, of course, TFU and Mike. Joining me once again is Mr. Terry Smith. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, Mike. Yes. Good to be here again.
Yes, of course. A second week in a row. Who would have thought? So, as hopefully everyone has heard my episode of Music Talks, Terry's show, where he has a guest on and they pick a song for each of the decades of their lives. Decades of their lives. That's kind of like the next days of our life. Oh, God, no. Don't go down that rabbit hole. All right. And I had Terry on last week, and he got a chance to redo his list. And then I thought of a way, just like most of your other listeners have thought of ways, to twist your format to fit something very specific, but to put it into your format. So you can't do this with every band. You're never going to be able to. Be like, again, for me, going back to Hall & Oates, there's no way I could fit a Hall & Oates song into each and every decade. I mean, maybe you could start with Abandoned Luncheonette and then go forward, but there's no way any Hall & Oates songs would fit into the 60s.
That's true.
and there are not a lot of bands out there, whatever music style it is, rock, pop, rap, reggae, whatever, ska. There's not a lot of bands that you can fit. And I'm like, well, there is one that I think could. Reformatting your format, I'm taking your format, I'm putting one band's, basically not necessarily their entire discography, but basically one song from each of their albums, well, not each, I go back and forth between, to fit in each of the decades, and that band is Blackstone Cherry. They're a southern hard rock band from Kentucky. You had on, was it episode 7? I think it was the episode with Paul, I think.
Yep, he Paul
was talking
Simpson.
Paul Simpson was talking about the southern rock stuff, some of the Kentucky stuff. I heard him mention several bands that I know,
yep,
kind of thing. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, Blackstone Cherry is right there. I first found out about them somewhere around 2011, which was their third album release, Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. They've been a band since 2001. And I go back to their songs all the time from all of the albums. There may be, in their entire discography, there may be two songs that I don't think fit, only because there were bonus tracks and they came after the end of what was a really good ending song on an album.
Right.
So I had you listen to this. I had you listen to the playlist I put together, and I'll freely admit, folks, this is my podcast, and I'll do what I want to. I've put two bonus tracks in here too, so we basically have 9 tracks. What used to be a full on cassette tape. For those of you who don't know, cassette tapes were these, you know, hard plastic things with
very in, very thin tape that
very thin tape that broke. And it's funny, it's kind of like, you know, you can break the tape, but you can't break the actual casing. Well, you can, but you have to take a hammer to it. It's not like, you know, folding a CD in half. So yeah, we've got 9 tracks here. Let's see, 7 of which are for decades starting from the 60s going all the way into the next decade, the 2020s, because I'm like, oh, this is the end of this decade. The 2010s is almost over. We have less than 2.5-3 months, and we're going into a new decade. So why not add in an additional song? And then I've got 2 songs after that because they really, one of them really means a lot. It really is one of those songs that it just feels like it's a song not just for a specific decade, but for all decades. And then the final song, as we'll get to it once I hand this over to you and you do your Music Talks thing with me again, the final song is just a really good upbeat rock song that has a good message in it. So, Take me to the 60s, Terry.
Thank you, Mike. Well, I have to say, before we time travel back to the 60s, I love the fact that you said that you know, other guests have twisted the format. I mean, other guests have tweaked it a little. They've tinkered with it slightly. Can I point out, and I hope you can hear me laughing. I'm absolutely fine with this. Although I was really confused when I got you, as you know, when I got your first mail, and I'm like, what? So, I mean, what you've done is you've taken the format, you've then chosen songs for decades you weren't alive in.
Right.
You've chosen songs for decades we haven't yet lived in. Yep. And you've done it with one band. So, exactly. God bless you. God bless you. And I think we should come up with a new word, which is you've Blanchard-ed it.
That's right.
And I've been Blanchard-ed.
That's right. You have. And here's the thing. Yes, I've chosen songs for decades that I wasn't alive. I was born in 1980. The basis of your podcast is a guest chooses a song for each decade that they've been alive. Here's the thing. We've, no matter when we were born, we've all been influenced by music that came before us.
Yeah, and in fairness, I do have, I think I'm recording it in about 2 or 3 weeks, but I do have a young guy coming on the program who, he is actually choosing music. He's 24, but he's choosing music from the 60s onwards because, he's a real, aficionado, actually a guy born in Jordan, would you believe? And it certainly convinced me when he sent his lists through, and it was, White Rabbit, Steppenwolf, White Rabbit Jefferson Airplane for the 60s, and Boney M for the 70s. So,
oh, wow,
his playlist is really interesting. So I'm deciding that this podcast, you know, you see those, I know you're a great film lover, you see those films that say loosely based on true events. So for those listening, this is a podcast loosely based on something called Music Talks. So let's go back to the 60s. Unlike you, I was alive, albeit relatively young. But talk us through, I guess, your view of the 60s, Mike, and then, you know, how it looks to you. And I guess then how that informed your choice from Blackstone Cherry, which, by the way, I do think is a great choice. I've really enjoyed listening to them over the last week. But talk us through that.
Yeah, my first two choices, one for the 60s, one for the 70s, could almost be flip-flopped, really.
Yep.
The 60s choice is their song called The Rambler. This is from the 2016 Kentucky album. This is a song that it makes me think of all of those artists that traveled to Woodstock. All of those bands that showed up to play that historic event. I mean, because Woodstock was a big thing for music.
Oh, it was massive.
It was massive. It was 3 days. It was, you know, just everything. And then I thought of, you know, just in general, nowadays, even back then, you think of musicians having to travel, whether they're married, whether they have kids or not. And then you think of those musicians who were lucky enough back then to get airplay. Because not a lot of them got airplay. A lot of the good ones did, obviously, but radio back in the 60s was completely different than what radio is now.
You should have been living in the UK, my friend. You know, we used to get misty-eyed about American radio and how much variety you had. I mean, we had pirate stations in the early 60s, which were boats that sat 50 miles off the English coast because then they weren't under English law or British law,
right.
the government changed the law in 1967. And then the BBC launched something called Radio One, which was, this is our channel for the young folk.
We're going
to play some of that rock and roll music. Mm-hmm. So we were absolutely starved over here. You had it really good.
I'm sure we did. And the thing with me and radio is I grew up in the 80s. I grew up listening to morning show radio. I did not listen to Howard Stern or any of that. when I listened to, when I was living in Boston, Massachusetts, was 105.7 WVBF, Boston 105. It is now 105.7 WROR in Boston. The Lauren and Wally Morning Show. And these guys were hilarious. Just absolutely hilarious. I love the way they put the show together. I love the way they worked on, you know, getting what tunes they're going to get on the air. With the Rambler, it's basically a story about a traveling musician. That's basically what it is. And my favorite line, which we'll hear in a moment, is... because I'm an old-time rambler, I call the road my home. Forgive my indiscretion, it's the only way I know. A million miles from Kentucky, but I'll always be around. So turn the radio up when your heart breaks down.
Great line. Great line.
Music gets most of us, but me. Music gets, like, one of the reasons why Blackstone Cherry is my band choice for this is because no matter what song they're singing, depending on what mood I'm in or what, like, I use at least three or four of their songs to get me motivated in the morning to get my ass up out of bed and get going with whatever I have to be doing that day.
Yep.
You know, and the Rambler just is a wonderful, wonderful song. And thank God the video does not put any achy breaky heart references into it, because they have Billy Ray Cyrus as the Rambler in the video. I didn't send this to you yet, but I will.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And yeah, so take a quick listen to the Rambler, folks, and we'll be back after this.
So I hope this finds you. I'm an old time rambler. I call the road my home. Forgive my indiscretion. It's the only way I know. A million miles from Kentucky, but I will always be around. So turn the radio up when your heart breaks down.
So, having heard the Rambler, a couple of things, if I may, Mike, about Woodstock. One, there was a document, as you know, it was the 50th anniversary, and having just not the BBC, they still do some great stuff. They did a brilliant documentary, and I'll try and find out if it's on PBS somewhere, but it wasn't actually about the music. It was about sort of the business side behind Woodstock, or actually the lack of business side. Because it really was fascinating, you know. I mean, like 10 weeks before, they lost the site they were going to do. I mean, the thing just should never have happened. And I'm glad it did, because I agree with you. I think it was a real turning point. And I can remember, I was too young, but I can remember my brothers both getting, you know, when the film came out.
Yep.
This was just such a significant event. But going back to, you know, it shouldn't have happened, and that... I know you listened to the episode, so Larry, who is my guest on episode three, and he's the only person I know who was actually at Woodstock. And what I love about Larry is, I mean, if I was in his position, I'd be so tempted to talk this up. And if anyone listens to that episode, basically you'll hear Larry say, one, I slept two of the 4 days. Two, it should have been declared a disaster area because it was literally a shithole, you know. So there's not a lot of romanticism there, although he will talk more warmly about it if you get a drink or two down him. And then the final thing is that I was booking concert tickets the other day, and I suddenly realized that in March, on the Monday, I am going to see The Who.
Oh.
On the Thursday, I'm going to see, of the same week, I'm going to see Santana.
Oh, wow.
Both of those bands played at Woodstock. Yep. And next year, it will be 51 years ago. And I always just, you know, like to play this sort of little movie game of somebody walking up to Pete Townsend or to Carlos Santana saying, you'll be doing this in 50 years' time. Yeah. I don't think they would have believed them. But
The thing with Woodstock is, if it hadn't have happened, I don't think music would be what it is after it happened. Like, if that event did not happen when it happened, you probably would not have all of the music we've had in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, it was certainly significant.
It's super significant, and I mean, for me, with, you know, the Rambler choice is, like, again, thinking back, like, nowadays, you know, Blackstone Cherry just put out their second Black to Blues EP. And, you know, you put it out, you put it online, you have, obviously, they do records and CDs, so they do vinyl and disc, as well as digital. Because nobody does cassettes anymore, folks. I mean,
they do. They are still out there.
Some do. Not many. Yeah. You know, and it's like Blackstone Cherry, that EP, and most of their albums since they've switched labels in the last couple of years, it's them doing all the work. Whereas back in the 80s and 90s, you know, you look at like something like TLC and Pebbles, or you look at, you know, Notorious B.I.G. and Bad Boy and Tupac and all that, they did the music themselves, but they still had all these other producers and other people to, you know. You look at somebody like Mutt Lang, who comes on an album to do his thing as a producer, and it's like, wow. The landscape of music has completely changed, and I fully believe Woodstock was the start of that.
Yeah, and I guess my final comment on Woodstock would be also, of course, the wonderful irony that the most famous song about the festival is Joni Mitchell's, and she didn't go to Woodstock because her manager told her she had she was booked on the Dick Cavett talk show and she should do that because it would be better for her. and then because she didn't go, she wrote a brilliant song. So let's push you on then, Mike, to the 70s. And I'm interested in your comment. I think I know what you mean of why the 60s and the 70s songs maybe could have been sort of transposed. But talk us through that.
So, the 70s. The reason why I say now, having gone back and listened to it multiple times again, Pieces Free from Blackstone Cherry. This was from their... which album was this from? I believe it's from Folklore and Superstition. Yes, this was from 2008's Folklore and Superstition album. This was before I had even started listening to them, because I didn't start until the 2011 album, and then I hadn't gone back and to the first two albums until a couple years ago.
Right.
So Pieces Free, you know, I think of just everything in the 70s and even in the 60s, like, you know, the whole peace movement, the whole, you know, war is bad kind of thing and everything else. And there's lines in here of basically trying to lift everybody up. And the message is, don't bring your sadness down on me when peace is free. Because here's the thing. I live, and you live, essentially, in free countries. There are other countries within this world of ours that are not so free.
Yep.
So you take advantage of, sometimes for granted, that, you know, we live in a society where, unless it's completely frowned upon, you can do almost anything you really want to because you have the freedom of that choice.
Yep.
And I think the 70s was a time where people were making a lot of choices that they maybe shouldn't have been.
Yep. Certainly in the music business they were.
Absolutely, yeah. But again, it also, to me, is one of those things where it's a sad song. But all right, fine, I'll do it. It's a sad song, but it says so much, because the beginning of it, everybody feels blue sometimes. You gotta keep your head up and keep on trying. You know, those first two lines.
Yep.
That should be everybody's mantra today, especially with how bad bullying has gotten over the last 20, 30 years, at least my lifetime. Maybe even yours.
Yep.
But at least in mine, because I was bullied as a kid because I have a disability. I have a mild case of cerebral palsy. Kids didn't understand that in the 80s. I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it now. But, you know, nowadays, you know, bullying and cyberbullying and internet bullying and everything else. So I think that the message of keep on trying and keep on keeping on and just remember that peace is free and there is peace in this world, even though there's a lot of war.
Yeah, and I think that the sentiment is absolutely to be supported. I mean, at a personal level, it's been interesting for me in the last couple of years because for a number of reasons, one of the things, it was actually through my wife, and I don't, I'd like to get it into a daily habit, and it's not every day, but I certainly mentally do it every day and physically do it most days, which is just to do a little gratitude journal. You know, where at the end of the day, you just write down three good things that happened in the day. And I think it's so easy, you know, particularly when we've got so much going on in our lives and we're hit with so much. And frankly, if you spend any time, you know, watching the TV news and reading the media, it's really easy to get into the world screwed and we should all just give up. So I find it a really uplifting thing that says, you know, just to sit back once a day and try and just be grateful. Because, you know, you look at it, Mike, you've talked on previous shows about, you know, your disability and having to deal with that on a daily basis. Well, you know, one of the things I should be happy for is I don't have to do that. You know, I mean, when I first started getting into this and you know, listening to stuff and somebody said, you know, just being thankful for actually, yeah, you've got a body and it works and you can move around and that's pretty remarkable when you start to think about it.
And here's the thing with me, and I don't know if I've ever said this on any of my podcasts, but there's a lot of times over my lifetime that I've looked at someone, complete stranger, don't know what their story is, whatever, no clue. And I've thought, well, fuck, I'm super jealous of them because they have a right hand and arm.
Absolutely.
That is the same size and functionality as their left.
Yep.
And I've gotten really fucking jealous over it, and it really bothers the hell out of me that's happened. But, you know, I think now, at the point that we're recording this, I'm 2.5-3 months away from my 40th birthday. I think I've made peace with my cerebral palsy, notwithstanding the fact that I had to have brain surgery this past year, or, in the last year of this decade, because of, you know, excess fluid on my brain. But again, the cerebral palsy it's a brain thing. It isn't just, oh, the doctor, you know, botched the birth and pulled my arm out the wrong way. No, this happened before I was even delivered. It was something to do with when my mom was pregnant and something didn't go right in my development while I was inside of her, or something or other. I don't know. It's just what it is. And over the years, I've gotten to the point where most times I don't even notice it. Like, somebody asked me, this is a number of years ago, somebody asked me, oh, what's wrong with your arm? And I said, oh, I have a mild case of cerebral palsy, but it's okay. And it was just a complete stranger walking down the street on the sidewalk, they asked. And I, you know, normally if that happened in like 2015, 2016, if that had happened in 2010, I probably would have, I don't even know. It's gotten better over time. And, you know, kind of digging into the message of Blackstone Cherry's peace is free, I'm at peace with it, but there are times where my disability really screws my thinking up.
Yeah, and I think that's understandable. And, you know, when you look at, I think getting screwed up and looking at someone and feeling jealous because, hey, something happened to me that you couldn't control, you know, means I've got to deal with this and you haven't. I realize that doing that too often isn't healthy for you, but I get why you do it. But right. I think if you then look at how much time I think people in general now spend going, why have they got that bigger car, or why have they got this, and why have I not got that? And it's like, you know, if we all spend our time worrying about what the next thing is, as opposed to look at what you've got. Anyway, we should have a listen to Peace is Free, but thank you for provoking the discussion.
Absolutely. We'll be back after this. You better sing your song and sing it loud, but you better do it here, and you better do it now, cause this is what your life that we live. Listen, people, cause this is what my song says.
So, on to the 80s, and of course, that's when you were born, and I am going to give you a choice away, and I'm sure it's sheer coincidence that it's the 80s you were born, and the song choice is Bad Habits.
Yes, it's actually Bad Habit, no S.
Bad Habits, sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, and this is from their 2018 release, Family Tree, so the most recent full EP, or LP, I should say, and it's the lead-off track to the album, and the opening riff just basically kicks your teeth in. And again, I should have sent this to you beforehand. I don't think I did. I have put a list together of like all the video links for all these songs that eventually, hopefully, even though this isn't a full episode of Music Talks, this is an episode of my show, Geekcast Radio, hopefully you'll kind of share the videos and things like that.
Sure.
But basically the video is a 1988 Battle of the Bands.
Yes.
And it's that whole Battle of the Bands where all these bands come together, and Blackstone Cherry is one of them, and they're singing their song, Bad Habit, and they have a whole groupie girl group kind of thing called the Bad Habits, and, you know, the lead singer's wife is one of them in the video, and things like that. But this is just a, again, this is a upbeat song that the clip that I'm going to play, again, goes more to my instrumental side than my storytelling side when it comes to music, because I mentioned on my episode of Music Talks, one of the reasons why I picked Hall & Oates Out of Touch for the 80s was because of the amazing drum solo. There's an amazing guitar solo in the middle of this song that it was my ringtone for about 6 months. As soon as Yeah, and I'm like, it's right where Chris Robertson, the lead singer, says, "Oh yeah," and it goes into that guitar solo, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, that has to be the thing." And the thing about this is, it's talking about a woman who is this person's bad habit, but it's a good bad, you know, it's a good thing that she's his bad habit kind of thing. It's just an interesting, fun rock song that, you know, like I said before, kicks your teeth in and makes you want to get up and go get stuff done.
No, I mean, it is, with you. I think it's a classic rock song, but they did a great job on the video. And I think, you know, for me, if you were doing word association, 80s would be MTV and video.
Absolutely.
You know, that was the massive change that came, that came about. And I think they had their tongue firmly but not too far in their cheek when they did the video. I think they got it just right. And it's funny you saying about, you know, Bad Habit being a woman in this guy's life. I recorded another edition of Music Talks yesterday, and we were talking about, I don't know if you know the song, but Come Pick Me Up by Ryan Adams.
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've heard.
Well, if you listen to the song, and it's one of those, and I've seen him numerous times, where, you know, when he plays it, you can hear, and interestingly, typically the women in the crowd sort of go, "Ah," because, you know, the song, basically, he's got this girl and she steals all his records and she screws all his friends, and so people view it as sort of the ultimate angst-ridden song.
Yeah.
And then I saw him interviewed a couple of years ago, and somebody said this, and he said, "Look, here's the reality." He said, "I know that's how people take it." He said, "But actually, the song is about walking into a bar, seeing a woman, and falling madly in love at first sight. even though you know in your head that it's all going to end badly and she'll steal all your records and she'll screw all your friends, you don't care.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the video age of MTV and, you know, how Blackstone Cherry have their tongue-in-cheek thing here with Bad Habit. They also did that with one of the tracks on Kentucky called Cheaper to Drink Alone. I'll have to send you that video.
Right.
Because it's basically their take on, you know, going out to bars and meeting women, but it's them with wigs on, kind of.
Oh, like, fantastic. See, I love stuff like that.
It's like that whole speed dating thing, but set to that song, and it was such a good video. You know what? MTV needs to start playing real videos again, because the art of the music video is another thing that has been lost, I think, unless you look at bands like this that do stuff like what they did with Bad Habit or what they did with, you know, Cheaper to Drink Alone. Because, man, it's just another level to express the song.
Yeah, and I was trying not to say this only because I think it just makes me sound as old as I am. But it has occurred to me actually fairly recently that, you know, I'm a massive Springsteen fan. For the new album, he did a couple of videos, and I'm thinking, who does he think is watching them? You know, and is it one of those things? And then I'll see newer and smaller artists. Like, is it one of those things that record companies are all run by old guys who go, we still need to do a video? And it's like, has anyone checked?
I don't know, but I do and I don't know, and I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and speak for Chris Robertson, Ben Wells, John Lahan, and John Fred Young, the four guys that are Blackstone Cherry. But I don't know if it's their record label that they have or whatever, but they do almost everything themselves. Yes, I'm sure they have a bunch of team members behind them, but it also
sounds, Mike, like it's become one of the things that they are doing, sort of archetypal 80s videos. Yeah. You know, they've got their tongue in cheek. They're taking the rise out of it. I mean, some of, and not just the Springsteen, you know, it's still the good old, you know, they've clearly got a professional crew. They're spending a load of money on it.
Right, yeah.
You know, I do have a couple of friends who, you know, that's how they work in film. Nothing, you know, high profile in Hollywood, but they make a good living. But they started in video in the 80s because that's where the money was suddenly. You know, there was two things going on. One, money started to pour in, and two, you had a load of artistic freedom because there was no video industry. You know, there was no music video industry.
Yeah, and I think nowadays you have even more artistic freedom because you don't have to be, as I mentioned earlier, you know, you look at the TLC story and them being so stifled by Pebbles and the management company. I think nowadays, because of the technology, you can go out there and do, like, you know, Chris does the mixing on most of the albums. John Lahan does the art from pretty much all of the albums. And, you know, it's them working on their stuff and not, you know, whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, they would sing the stuff, they would record it, and then somebody else would...
The production values and the production costs are very different.
Yeah, exactly. Different.
Cool. We should take a listen then to Bad Habit. Come on, baby, make me shiver. She's my bad habit. I got it bad. then on to the 90s and a very different choice, Mike. So talk us through that.
So this is the song that we're going to be talking about here is from their 2011 album Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. It is a song that when I first heard it, I was like, okay, they wrote this for, at the time, 2011, I think the Afghanistan war was still going on and all of that, and, you know, Bin Laden and everything else. This song has a very, basically, military feel to me, and I had seen the video, and then I had seen the behind the scenes of the video, and how they were supporting this army guy, he might have been a Marine, I don't remember, just watch the video, folks.
Yep.
Randy, I don't remember his last name, but basically, In My Blood is a song about being in the military, in the armed forces, in the Navy, and the whatever, and how you always have to leave. Who knew to hurt would feel so good? Move along so far from home. My mistakes go on and on. In truth, I hate to be alone. And then it goes on to say, you know, another day, another round. I miss my friends in my hometown. But the truth is, it's the reason that I leave. It's in my blood and it's in my bones.
Yeah.
You know, military life and the reason, and I'm not speaking, I 4F'd. In high school, they basically 4F'd me because I was disabled.
Now go on, for the Brit, explain what 4F is.
It's basically you flunk out.
Right.
It's basically you cannot join the military. There's something that would not work with you in military life.
Got it.
Kind of thing. But my Uncle Keith on my dad's side was a Navy CB. He was a military career man. And in 1990, we were in the middle of the Gulf War.
Yep.
And there was a song back then that I would hear almost every night on the radio. And that was Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA.
Yeah.
And In My Blood, to me, even though it's more of a rock song than what Lee did with his song, it's a storytelling song that basically gives you the thoughts behind someone who might be in the military of why they do it, because they want to fight for their country, because that's all, you know, doing something your whole life, because that's all you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you know how to do. And you try your best to, you know, even though you've made mistakes, you try to make up for them, even though the this, even though the that. And there's one line in here that I absolutely love. I miss your touch and I miss your smile, the thing you do that drives me wild. You think about all of the military men and women that have, just not in our life, just in general, since the U.S. military has been the U.S. military or whatever, the, you know, yep, whatever it is, you know, since they finally allowed women to be soldiers and all of this and all of that, and everybody having to make that choice to, you know, you're here one day and you're not the next because you're out fighting for what you believe in.
Yep.
And that, and the way that they arrange the instruments in the song and the way the instruments play, it has this, I do not want to compare it to Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, but it has this 90s grungy kind of sound. That's why I put it in the 90s.
No, great choice.
Because yeah, I get that. It I don't has that think feel. It would, yeah, and I don't think it would fit in any other decade. And again, the whole military thing for me with my uncle and tying back to that memory of, you know, worrying about him every night. And then once, you know, the Lee Greenwood song would come on, it's like, oh, okay. Well, hope he's all right. You know, and I wasn't that close to my Uncle Keith. He's on my dad's side. I wasn't. It was weird.
No, but you're aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, yeah. So In My Blood, we're going to take a listen to that, and then we're going to head to the next millennium.
Yeah, and just before we do, because, again, I think it's an interesting choice, and as always, my interesting observations you've made. again, my exposure to the military hasn't been great, but in the 90s, I lived next door to, well, family moved in, and it was a guy, Chris, and he was the fifth generation of his family that had been in a famous, ironically, a Scottish regiment called the Black Watch. In fact, I think if you trace it back, his family members were in one of the regiments that then became the Black Watch. So, and he, 12 months before he moved in next door to us, he'd actually effectively been made redundant from the army. And it was fascinating talking to him, because I remember he came around for dinner one night and my brother was down, and my brother and I both worked in IT. And Jim had started this, it was just before Christmas, Jim had started that year working for a company. He'd then been headhunted to go to another company, and he literally stayed 6 weeks because he decided he'd made a mistake and he went somewhere else. And Chris looked at him and went, "So you've had three different jobs this year?" And Jim went, "Yeah." And he said, "Wow, that's brave." And in credit to my brother, Jim just looked and said, "Chris, how many tours of duty did you do in Ireland?" And he looked and he said, "Five." He said, "No, that's brave." He said, "What we do is just nonsense." But it was fascinating to watch this talented guy, you know, adjust to civilian life. Because if you think about it, and his wife was also, she didn't go back five generations, but she was, her parents had been in the military. So they'd lived, you know, when I think you said the song there, it said, you know, "It's in my blood, it's in my bones." It really was for them. And it was actually the practicalities, you know, when they moved into sort of civilian life, that were just basic things. So, you know, I remember his because he was an officer, his wife said, "You know, well, all my shopping used to be delivered to me." So it really was, it was fascinating. And I know one of the things, you know, military and war and all of that is a very difficult subject, but one of the things that always hit myself and Laura in the US was the difference in the amount of respect the military get in the US than they do in the UK.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that, but it is very different. It is very different. Let's take a listen. Okay, and on to our next choice, and it's the Noughties and The Way of the Future.
That's right. This is the lead track, I think. Yes, this is the lead track from 2016's Kentucky, the Kentucky album. And the reason why I put this for the 2000s versus the 2010s is because really the 2000s is when most of this, at least in my mind, kind of started happening. The opening verse is, "Wake up, hope you don't get shot. Step out, hope you don't get robbed. There's children killing themselves. Who killed who else for killing ourselves? Watch out, devil's gonna get rich. Better stop falling for these tricks. We're all killing ourselves. Who killed who else for killing ourselves?" And there's a line later where he talks about, "Throw away everything you've been told to believe. Break away from these chains. We're supposed to be free. Yeah, free. It's the way of the future. There's no place to hide. You promise to listen. I'll promise you life." And the song, the way it opens is, again, it's another one of these, you know, first tracks like, what's going to happen? And that opening guitar riff, just when I first heard it, you know, 3 years ago, it just put me on my ass.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. I mean, it's my favorite out of all your choices. I mean, I know you said, I think in one of your emails, that the band isn't particularly super political, but that's a brilliant set of lyrics.
Yeah, they're not super political at all. And that was, I think, out of all of their stuff, that was the most political they had gotten kind of thing. And it just feels like that's, you know, the song feels like it's talking about even today, even what's going on today, even what's...
Absolutely. It's probably more... Well, when was it released again?
It was released in 2016.
Yeah, okay. I think it's to their credit in the sense that, you know, we mentioned Woodstock before. One of the things that disappoints me is, with everything that is going on in the world, is actually the lack of, for want of a better phrase, protest music that is being written. And I will make a racial comment here, particularly by white bands and white men and women singers. I think there's a lot of black artists who are doing a much better job writing about what's going on. And there's a bunch of old guys doing a great job. So it's good to see. And I know you put it in the 2000s, but I can see why they wrote that in 2016. And I think it's a great song. So well done.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those songs that you got to think. I don't know the exact date that Kentucky came out. I forget off the top of my head. But, you know, 2016 for us here in the U.S., well, I don't know. But for us people that, you know, have common sense, for me personally, I'll say this, and I try my best not to get political on these shows, on our podcast, because it's not just my show, it's mine and Steve's and everybody else has different opinions.
Sure.
So, for me personally, the 2016 election, there was no good choice.
No.
It didn't matter what end you were on, there was no good choice. I do think that things have gotten worse since...
No, I agree.
Since somebody brought back Agent Orange from Vietnam again. But anyway, let's take a quick listen to Blackstone Cherry's The Way of the Future, and we'll be back after this.
So, on to what is still just about
the current decade.
The current decade, but we ain't got long left. So, talk us through that.
All right. So, I tried to figure out which one of their songs had a thing of you want to be something, but you're not, and you don't know how to get to where you want to be.
Uh-huh.
And again, this song is not political at all, but going with the whole thing we were just talking about with the way of the future and the way that politics is currently here in the U.S., everybody wants to be a white trash millionaire. I mean, and I have to fully admit this. When I first heard this song, this is, like I said, Blackstone Cherry's White Trash Millionaire. It is the, again, I don't know why I keep picking lead off tracks.
But there's a reason they put it as the first track, isn't there?
That's true. It's the lead off track from 2011's Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. When I first heard this back in 2011... I don't even know if the other song that I'm going to reference was out then or not, As soon as I heard the line, where is it? He talks about being born this way. And the first thing I thought of, you know, was that Lady Gaga song entitled Born This Way, because it sounds so similar. Like, just that one lyric. Oh, here it is. The very first. I've got a Trans Am in primer paint. Hey. Nobody taught me I was born this way. Just the way that the melody in the song and the way that Chris sings it, I don't know why, but it made me think of the Gaga song with the way she sings about how she was born a certain way. And it
right.
just, like, I know they didn't do it on purpose, and I don't know without actively looking it up and making keyboard noises and whatever else when Born This Way came out, but that's what I connected with back then, just listening to the song and, you know, part of the chorus, ain't got much and I don't care, count your cash and kiss my ass, this whole damn world gonna know I've been here. So for me, reading that is, no matter who you are, no matter what you want to do, if you can find a way to do it and fuck everybody else.
Well, there's a manifesto for life if ever I've heard one.
Well, I'm like, okay, I've been podcasting for 11 years. I've had a lot of people criticize me over 11 years over audio issues or levels not being correct, or I said the wrong thing, or I misspoke, or people don't agree with my opinions. Hey, that's great. If you agreed with me all the time, or if you were on my same level, or you were basically, I don't need, the world does not need a clone of TFG1 Mike. That just would not be a good thing.
I guess my only observation would be this, which is I totally agree with you and certainly subscribe to the world would be a very boring place if we were all the same, and I am all for variety and all of that. Again, without sounding like the old reaction, the one negative thing that I think social media has done is that people now get so irate when they don't agree with you. And it's like, you don't need to. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's goodness for me that there's different views and there's different opinions. And I think the sad thing is that we all seem to be getting far more, you know, either you're in my camp or you're my enemy. And it's like, no.
No, it shouldn't be that way.
Life's a lot richer than that. It really is.
It is, but there are times where like, someone the other day, I had shared a post from IDW Publishing, the comic book company. They've got a young Donald Duck comic coming out. And one of my friends commented and said, oh, this reminds me of all those kid cartoons in the late 80s, early 90s, like A Pup Named, like, where they took Scooby-Doo and made him younger, kind of thing. So A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, Flintstones Kids, that kind of thing. My only retort to this person was, I don't care what anyone says, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo was awesome.
Yep.
Whatever other opinions are of the other shows, that's fine, but A Pup Named Scooby-Doo is awesome. And most of the time, I will look at people's statuses online, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and if I have a comment, I'll comment. That's what I love about Facebook.
I think there's a difference between commenting and expressing an opinion, and what I see a lot is, you know, and try and work on the example you just said, where somebody goes into a complete rant that says, Mike Blanchard, I thought you were a decent person and I thought you knew about, but because if you think, you know, young Scooby-Doo was, well, that means you don't know anything, you know, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a little much.
You know, I mean, I'm like that with music that, and I'm like most things, I'm sure I've now quoted it, you know, that, you know, my dad was a massive influence on me in terms of music, but the best advice he ever gave me, and I was actually talking about Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and they used to very pretentiously refer to wooden music and electric music, you know, when they were doing their acoustic stuff and when they were doing electric stuff. And he just looked at me and he said, son, there's only two types of music. He said, music you like and music you don't. And he said, my advice is don't stick with that and don't try and impose your taste too much on other people. You know, and I know there's stuff that's cool and uncool to like. It's like, you know, a really good friend of mine, you know, this whole Hidden Pleasures you know, that people secretly listen to ABBA because then, and it's like, I said to a friend about Hidden Pleasures and he said, I don't have hidden, and he basically said the same thing. I don't have hidden pleasures. I have music I enjoy and I have music I don't. And some of it's really uncool, but I enjoy it.
Here's my thing. Somebody's like, oh, try, and I'm just going to say this because that's what was said. Try Game of Thrones. Oh, why aren't you watching? Like, oh my God, you haven't watched Game of Thrones? Oh my God, you're the person on a deserted island because everybody's seen that show. My thing with that television show is I'm not going to, and I know HBO has more than just Game of Thrones, but I'm not going to subscribe to a cable package or a premium package just to see one show. I did catch my cable company's free weekend thing for HBO last year, whenever it was, or maybe earlier this year, I don't remember. And I did try to watch season one, episode one of Game of Thrones. I got 15 minutes in, and they basically did nothing. Yep. They walked the entire time through the snow, and I'm like, this just isn't for me. And like, there are things that people like that I don't, or that I don't know about, or that I've never checked out. Like, half of the original programming on Netflix, I don't watch it. I don't care either way, though. Like, I have no opinion. So I'm to the point where I either love something or I just don't care because I don't have any whatever to it.
Yeah, and my, well, here's something else we've got in common because I also haven't watched Game of Thrones. And my view is there is, you know, it's the same with film, with TV, with music, with theatre. Is there is so much good stuff that we have access to that unless it's something that I feel I really want to, I'm not going to force myself to watch or listen to anything just because apparently a load of other people are.
Yeah,
you know, if there's something in there that tweaks my interest, great. And with Game of Thrones, frankly, and like you, I do think we watched 10 minutes, but it was like, there is nothing there that has made me think my life is going to be incomplete unless I watch 7 series of this thing. So, So good stuff. So we should have a listen to White Trash Millionaire, shouldn't we?
Was born this way. No silver spoon to feed a 401k. On Bourbon Street, the girls are screaming, they're calling out my name. Wanna be a white trash millionaire? Ain't got much and I don't care. Count your cash and kiss my ass. The whole damn world's gonna know I've been here. Got 2 6 heads and you know I'll share. I'm never welcome nowhere.
Now, of course, if this was a normal Music Talks, I'd now be asking you for your final thoughts and your contact details. But given
this isn't,
but given it's been Blanchard-ed, which I'm right. Gaining, it's that's working for me more and more. If in 10 years there are people wandering around Scotland saying, and it would sound great in a Scottish accent as well, he's been Blanchard-ed. So let's move on to the next decade that hasn't yet arrived.
Yes, we're, like I said, 2 or 3, well, we're 2 months away from the 2020s. So my biggest joke now, and I know this is not supposed to be a joke, but it is a joke for me. I wasn't alive in the 1920s. My grandmother on my mom's side was born in 1920. She was 9 years old when the Depression happened. So being a kid at that time, that must have been awful.
Yep.
But because we are now coming to the 2020s, I want to call it the Roaring 20s again. Because it's, you know, like, I don't know. So, again, going back to Blackstone Cherry and figuring out a song that, who knows what, you know. You said in the last episode of Music Talks, or I should say episode 10 of Music Talks, because hopefully by the time this is out, people would have heard my episode, would have heard the other episode of Geekcast Radio, yada, yada, yada. In episode 10 with Chris Bloom, and in other episodes of Music Talks, you've said that there's music for everyone. There's always new music, whether it's, you know, from the 50s and 60s or now. Somebody is always experiencing new music to them.
Mm.
So what kind of feelings are we going to have in the next decade? What kind of music is going to emerge in the next decade? Are we going to see a revival of, you know, full-on reggae on radio? Probably not, but, you know, like, what's going to happen?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Because none of us know what's going to happen, but what could happen? And from there, again, the family tree, the latest LP from last year, it is the third track, New Kind of Feeling. And, you know, in the song they say, "What did I get into? What am I going to do? She turned the ocean blue, but damn it, she's perfect. I've asked 1,000 times, been asked 1,000 whys. I got to keep on trying, because girl, you're worth it." And then he goes on later to, you know, say, "I don't need her." He goes on, "A new kind of feeling for you, feeling. You want it, you can't have it. It's perfect kind of healing, yeah. All right. So I don't need a reason. Don't need no reason, yeah, for my new kind of feeling." And I'm like I just said, what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen in the next decade?
Yep.
Whatever feelings that music produces from us or for us, we don't need a reason for it. We just know what we like. And I don't know what Blackstone Cherry is going to do. Because I know that they just kind of announced that they're spending the winter working on the next full album. So here's the thing with this band. They remind me of Hall & Oates.
I was going to say, what's the thing? Because you clearly love them. And I always fascinates me when people go beyond, "Oh yeah, I like it," to, "I really love this music." So what is it, like, that attracts you?
It's the fact that they are all in. The fact that they're musicians, they are people that dedicate themselves to this craft, that don't just resign themselves to whatever contract they have with the record label. Like, "Oh, we have a contract for 11 songs and that's all we're going to do."
Yeah.
Pretty much all of their albums since 2006's self-titled album, pretty much all of them have special editions or re-releases or bonus tracks or whatever. They give the fans more. And pretty much every year we've gotten something from them since about 2014 was Magic Mountain, and then 2 years later, 2016, was Kentucky. Since Kentucky, we've gotten something from them every single year, because 2016 was Kentucky, 2017 was the Black to Blues Volume 1 EP, last year was Family Tree, the full album, and then now they just released Black to Blues Volume 2, the second EP from that series.
Wow.
So they've, you know, going back to Hall & Oates, they had Abandoned Luncheonette in 72, they had whatever album in 73, they had whatever album in 74, they had, make sure I get this right, Voices in 80, Private Eyes in 81, H2O in 82.
I'm impressed you can remember.
Rock and Soul Part 1, 83, Big Bam Boom, 84, you know, yada, 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 and on and on and on and on and on. So they did an album every year, and Blackstone Cherry, I talked about this on my episode of Music Talks. I'll say it here. Going to Kentucky in 1993 was not my choice.
Yep.
I'm not going to go through the full story, folks. If you want to hear the full story, you can go listen to Music Talks, whatever episode my episode number is for Music Talks. But basically, it was not my choice. But there are certain things from that state that I have immense pride in. And the stories that these four guys and their team tell in these songs is just amazing. There are songs, like, I could do...
And it sounds like that's the... I mean, just trying to decipher, if you like, the key. That it's the word stories. That's what you're connecting to. That's what you're relating to.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think it is interesting with artists that I think to get that sort of connection, I think one of the things is you have to listen, and it has to be authentic.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and I always go back to Springsteen, because I think he talks very eloquently about the songwriting process, in the fact that, if you know, and particularly if you're writing in character, if you don't get inside your character, your listeners will know 10 seconds into the song.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but, you know, and he's done some stuff where you just get, yeah, it doesn't work. And then there's other things where, you know, it can be 4 or 5 words, but it just paints a picture and you know who the person is and all of that stuff. So,
Me, with him, that would be Glory Days.
Well, I may share it at some point in on Music Talks, but I love my music. I love to sing. It's just people don't like to hear me sing because it's awful. But at a Microsoft big corporate event, it was the Christmas party 2016, I think. Basically, I had to go and do karaoke. And I actually did it with Larry, would you believe? And we did Glory Days, and Larry being Larry, he managed to pose for the whole song and at no point actually attempt to sing anything. But I chose Glory Days because you can almost talk your way through that song. But there is a short video clip of that. But that is a brilliant song. You know, that's a movie. It's a movie in 3.5 minutes.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, well, we should then take a listen to, and this is the first time Music Talks does a song from the 2020s, New Kind of Feeling. We'll play it. We'll definitely play this again in a year's time when we're in 2020, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then you've talked about Blackstone Cherry doing bonus editions. You've then got 2 bonus tracks.
Yes.
And I think the first one.
One is a song that was the, what was it? Was it the final track of the original version? Yes, it was the final track of the original version of Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. They then have 3 iTunes bonus tracks after it. But if you just got the regular album, this was the last song on Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea. It is entitled All I'm Dreaming Of. And the reason why I put this bonus track together is because it's a song that fits every decade. It's a song that fits every generation. It's a song that fits every human being. We are all human beings. I don't care if my skin is purple or, you know, red or yellow or green or what. We're all human beings and we all have these feelings. Now, again, I didn't really reveal to people that I was doing this podcast, but in the official Blackstone Cherry group on Facebook, I went and told people about the Music Talks format, and I asked people, what do you think, which Blackstone Cherry songs do you think fit in each decade from the 60s to
actually right now? Great.
I did not tell them about going further into the next decade. And they all gave me kind of sort of their list. Some people didn't really read the thing and see what I wanted to get them to comment about. But I then asked the band. I asked them straight up. I said, on the group, I said, what was the inspiration for All I'm Dreaming Of? And the reason why I say this is because there's a line in here, part of the second verse. There's people around us everywhere who need help like you and me. A family was taken by a storm, and we just watched it on TV. This song came out in 2011.
Right.
Was it Sandy? Katrina? Katrina was 2005.
Yep.
When I hear that line, all is I think of is whatever major storms, have, like Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, all the devastation that people have had happen to them here in the U.S. because of hurricanes and things like that. And I asked the band, I said, you know, what's the straight-up inspiration behind it? Can you guys give me a little insight? And sadly, I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what they said, but they basically said we wrote it because we wanted a song for people to, you know, have dreams and dream of a better future. There's the line in here, the chorus. All I'm dreaming of is good times, good friends, and somebody to love. All I'm dreaming of is no fears, no tears, and blue skies up above.
There you go. You can't argue with that sentiment.
That reminded me of what you had said about how you first wanted to start Music Talks, how you first wanted to start this format of having your friends over to your house, or, you know, having a barbecue, or, you know, having dinner and talking about music and whatever, or, you know, in Kentucky's case, sitting on the back porch and singing, or whatever kind of thing. And if you listen to the song, it's a good, uplifting, positive message that all we're dreaming of is something better than what's going on right now.
That's brilliant, Mike. And I will go back and listen to the song with that as context. But that's brilliant. Thank you. We should now take a listen.
Something about our world today that makes me want to cry. There's too much anger and too much pain, too much money and too many lies. If I could have one wish tonight, I would beg of us to forget our pride. If we could do just one thing right, we could help each other.
That's great. I really, really appreciate that. So that brings us then to your last choice then. Follow the that, final, I'm going to say.
the final track is the second bonus track. It is something brand new. I didn't even know about it until they posted about it. And I haven't thought about this in at least a decade and a half. When I was younger, my mom, my grandma, whoever it was, we would always end up watching PBR, Professional Bull Riders. We would always end up watching bullfighting on TV at some point. Well, PBR has changed their anthem over the years. And the current anthem is done by... there are three different versions of it, and it's done by two different people and one band. Blackstone Cherry was the band. The other two people, are Montgomery Gentry of, Eddie Montgomery of Montgomery Gentry, who's a country duo, and then Chevelle Shepherd, who was the 2015 winner of NBC's The Voice.
Ah.
And so I'm like, wait, what? What is this? Huh? Because I just went on to Spotify one day, and I'm like, Blackstone Cherry's latest release, Be Cowboy. Huh? What? So then I went to their page. I went to the PBR page. I saw the video of, you know, why the song is what it is. And I saw how Eddie's talking about it. I saw how Chevelle's talking about it. I wish they would have had Blackstone. I wish they would have had Chris or Ben or John or John talking about it. But it basically shows Eddie and Chevelle. And then it shows Blackstone Cherry playing it. And cool. Again, it's one of these, because it's associated with bull riding. It has to be this upbeat rock, full on, you know, get you into the mood kind of thing to watch, you know, giant animals throw scrawny people off of themselves.
Yeah, I'm sure the marketing department will work on that. But
so part of the lyrics, it's a fire, hard wire, spirit within, to be dreamers, believers, the best that we can. Be the one who does the right thing when there's no one else around. Be the one that runs into flames when the house is burning down. Be the one that holds on harder when it's harder to hold on. Be the one who keeps believing when you think that your hope is gone. Be cowboy. And, you know, it embodies the country lifestyle, even though it's a rock song.
That's brilliant.
The lyrics are, it just, it was, this is so stupid, and I can't believe I'm revealing this on a podcast. I woke up, I think, the morning after it released, or maybe it was the day of release, and, you know, first thing you get up in the morning, you go to the bathroom. Okay, well, I wanted to hear this new song. Full blast on my phone. Sitting on the toilet with the phone on the sink.
It's the only way to start the day.
My wife's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to the bathroom." "Why is the song playing?" "Because I haven't heard the whole thing yet. I don't know." I don't normally play music. Unless I'm in like the shower or the bathtub or whatever, I don't normally play music as I'm going to the bathroom. But I hadn't heard the full song yet. So I'm like,
All I will say is, I'm a little surprised that you find that's a bit strange. I think it's perfectly normal behavior. Perfectly normal behavior. Well, not sitting on the throne, we should probably take a listen to your last choice then, Mike.
Yes, and then we'll come back and close it out after that. It's a fire, hot wires, spilling within, to be dreamers.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk to me. Then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of GeekCast Radio. This has been two musical weeks here on the show. One thing I did not tell you, Terry, is that I got a chance on, thanks to my lovely wife, Karen, on what would have been... math is not happy with me right now. What would have been my grandmother's, on my mom's side, my grandmother Agnes, what would that have been? That would have been, what was it, last year? Yes, it would have been her 98th birthday. March 29th of last year, I got a chance to see Blackstone Cherry live for the first time.
Oh, wow.
They were like a week and a half away from releasing the Family Tree album. No, they were a month away from releasing the Family Tree album. It released on 420 last year. And, you know, you talk about live music and things like that. I know people are going to be screaming at their iDevices or listening, whatever. Blackstone Cherry, to me, they're my version of the Grateful Dead. I could watch these guys every night, because every night they put on, you don't hear the same songs every single night. If I pointed you to like Setlist FM or something and I found you all the different set lists of their, they don't do the same thing.
It's what live music should be. Night.
Right. And they do it so well and so interesting. They have done a cover of, one of those Adele songs. Which one? Rolling in the Deep.
All right.
Can you imagine what... I mean, obviously, I'll send it to you.
I'd love to hear it.
But, you know, for me, I'm not an Adele fan, but hearing Blackstone Cherry sing one of her songs, that's kind of awesome.
Yep.
They do... You know, you want to talk about Hendrix and things like that. At the show we went to, they did part of Foxy Lady. Because they do this thing where they'll mix things between their actual tracks, and they'll do these like run-on things.
Yep.
And do various things throughout the show. It was so much fun. I hope to see them again before, you know, 20 years goes by.
That'd be great.
But yeah, this has just been absolute fun. Thank you so much for letting me twist your
format. Hey, it's my pleasure.
Where can the people find you online? What would you like to promote? All that good stuff.
So in terms of contacting me, probably Twitter is best, which is at musictalkspod. As I always say, if you want to use 90s email, it's musictalkspod@outlook.com. And my Facebook, again, is also at musictalkspod. And there I post, not every, but most days, additional content around the last episode of the Music Talks podcast. So be great to hear from people. And as I say, please like the Facebook page and have a listen to an episode. Not least, I think it will be it'll either be episode 11 or 12 with a certain Mike Blanchard.
That's right. You can reach us at GeekCast Radio on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. Obviously, go to the website, geekcastradio.com. We've got amazing stuff coming up next week, or next episode, or whenever it's going to be, because this is more than just a hobby to me. It's my job. And sadly, I won't get any retirement checks if I retire. Damn it. next week we're going to have a discussion on physical media versus digital media. We've done this a couple of times, but new things came out and new discussion points and yada yada yada. So next episode we're going to talk about whether you like physical media or digital media. Terry, do you have a preference?
I move between both, so I have every 2,500 CDs ripped. I subscribe to Spotify and Tidal, and I have about 1,000 vinyl albums.
Awesome.
Oh, and I still have a cassette player and cassettes in the loft as well. No 8-track. The only thing I never did was 8-track. That never really hit the UK.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be the next episode. After that, we're going to do – that's episode 197. Episode 198 will be sort of a Christmas show kind of thing. And then episode 199 will be a decade in review. We normally do a year in review at the end of every year, but seeing as how this is the last year of the of this decade – oh boy, do I have a lot of research to do.
Absolutely. I don't envy you that.
Yep. Unleash the music geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on GeekCast Radio.
Great. A couple of things I'd like to say.
Sure.
One was, I mentioned I recorded another episode yesterday, and in that conversation we talked, this guy called Ian Braisby, but we both talked about the fact that we love, one of the reasons we love live music is, you know, going to a show and when the artist will talk about a few of the songs or give you some sort of insight. And he actually talked about, I'm going to forget the guy's name, but one of the artists he loved, and the guy did that very deliberately. They turned up for one show and he had like a sitting room on stage and he sat in the armchair and, you know, told stories about the songs. The reason for saying all of that is, you know, I'd listen to your playlist. I'd genuinely really enjoyed it, but I can't wait now to go back and listen to it again.
Okay.
And for me, that's, you know, you talked about where the idea for this is the idea for Music Talks came from. To me, that's the essence, that you have a conversation about music, you have a conversation about a track or an artist, and you sit there and you go, wow, I'd have never, you know, one, I'd have never spotted that, or two, you now listen to it through, in this case, your eyes again. So thank you for that, because I just, it's the thing I love. The other thing is that we clearly need to stop recording stuff, because as you well know, every time I talk to you, another idea for a podcast comes up. But so this had already happened before the recording, and uh-huh. Then you built on it, because you know when you said you looked at Hall & Oates, but you couldn't do a Hall & Oates song for the 60s and the 50s.
Yeah.
You could certainly do a Springsteen song.
Yep.
So well, at some point, know. And it'll be next year at some point, we'll wait until 2020 and the new album's out, but at some point, you and I would like you to interview me. We're going to do the 50s onwards, and it's going to be a Springsteen song for each decade. So, and on the basis, he's actually got, I suspect the 60s stuff I can get hold of, but, you know, he's actually got the 70s onwards covered anyway. I'd like to do that. But great, awesome. Fun, Mike. And I say this as a compliment. I think only you could have twisted my format this much and made it this much fun. So thank you.